Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. As John said, my name's Joe Leach. I'm one of the elders here at Grace Church across our sites. It's good to see you. Happy New Year. I don't know how long you say that for, but I think we're still all right on the 7th. It's the 7th today, isn't it? Yeah. Happy New Year. Happy January. We all love that, don't we? If you're new this morning, let me just add a particular welcome to you. It's so good to see you. If I've not met you before, particularly hello. I'd love to come and chat to you afterwards. You're so welcome here at Grace Church. This morning I'm going to be preaching from the Bible, as we always do here at Grace Church. So if you need a Bible, if you haven't got one with you, you can just put your hand in the air and Vernon will bring one to you. If you don't have one with you because you don't own one at all, then you can take one home. Take that as a gift from us. We'd love you to have it. We're going to be in John 15. We'll get there in a bit this morning. So we're starting a new kind of short series today called One Another, and I'll explain a bit more about that in a few minutes' time. And today, more specifically, I'm talking about love, and I've called this talk Love Sharers. And I'm fully aware that's quite an odd phrase. You might be thinking, what kind of hippie, crazy stuff is this? Love sharers sounds a bit odd to me. But I will explain it. Just bear with me for a few minutes. We'll get there. I'm going to make an assumption today that everyone here is at least slightly interested in the topic of love and the idea of being more loving to other people. You might not even know exactly what you believe about this whole God and Jesus stuff necessarily, but I think it's probably fair to say and fair to assume that if you're here this morning that you think sharing love is a good idea and it's a good thing for you to do and it's good for wider society at large for people to do that. I think it's a question we ask ourselves on a regular basis, really, in some shape or form. How can I be more loving? How can I love people better? How can I be a better person? And one classic thing that people often say in answer to that, especially Christians, is that you should treat people how you would want to be treated. And I mean, hey, Jesus said that. He said, do to others as you would have them do to you. Share love with others how you would want them to share love with you. It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's very simple in one sense, and yet it is also very profound. And you can't argue with it, can you? I mean, Jesus said it, so you can't argue with it. I guess the thing is, for me, if I just look at that sentence and take that sentence on its own and try and work with that, it just isn't that successful for me, because I find it really difficult. I find it really difficult to do that. It's very hard. So I know if, for example, say Andrew is being really grumpy to me and just kind of gives me the cold shoulder, which, you know, we've all been there, haven't we? Then I know that the most effective way for me to try and influence Andrew is to influence him to change and to stop being such a grump is not for me to just be grumpy back to him and give Andrew the cold shoulder every time I see him and, you know, and just grunt at him in welcome and try and see how you like it. That would not be the best way. I know that. I think we all know that would not be the best way for him for us to try and influence him to change. The thing to do would be to treat Andrew how I would want Andrew to treat me, and to so be pleasant to him and try and influence his behaviour that way. And we know this, don't we? We all know that. This principle is used far beyond the realms of the church. Almost everyone in our culture teaches it to their children. This is what you should do. But it just is hard to do, isn't it? It's the opposite of my inclination. Because if someone's being grumpy to me, I am not inclined to be pleasant to them. I find it difficult, and I'm just not that good at doing it without looking like I'm trying really hard to do it, which kind of defeats the point. And, you know, smiling through gritted teeth. I don't think it really works. It's hard to treat people how you want them to treat you when they are not treating you the way you want them to treat you. That, get that? It's hard to treat people the way you want them to treat you when they are not treating you the way they want them. I lost it. So close. I was going really fast. I was like, if I can get this. But I didn't. I lost it. But we all know what I'm saying. It must be possible to do, though, mustn't it? I mean, Jesus wouldn't talk about it, and neither would all parents everywhere. And certainly Jesus modeled it himself. He died for those that killed him. The ultimate example of selfless love. But how did he do it? And that's the kind of problem and the kind of thing that we are looking to solve through this mini series, this three-part series we're doing through the beginning of January. It's called One Another, as I say, and we're really looking at how to be in relationship with one another within the church. And we're looking at all the one another verses in the Bible, of which there are quite a few. Primarily, as I say, this is our relations with each other as a church family. And we've categorized these one another verses into three groups. So today we're looking at love, we're going to look at unity, and we're going to look at humility. So looking at loving one another, serving one another, and being united to one another and serving one another. We're looking basically at our biblical mandate as a church to be a family together. What this looks like, how we can be encouraged to do it, encouraged that we're already doing it, how we can continue to do it into 2018 and beyond. As a church, we're not an exclusive family, are we? We are always looking to be a blessing beyond this family, but the focus of this series is on our relationship to one another. So if you are a guest this morning, or if you've not been many times before, this is actually a great little series for you to be part of. Let me encourage you to stick around for it. You can learn who we are, learn how we relate to one another, what we are about, how we love to be, and work hard to be a loving and inclusive family together. So that's what this series is about. But back to loving one another, how can we do this? How can we be loving to others when they aren't being loving to us? Maybe even within the church family, if we're struggling with people. I think the reason that this is not easy is pretty straightforward. Basically, we're trying to muster up some kind of genuine love out of nowhere. I'm trying to just be more loving, even though I really don't know how to do that. I'm certainly not very motivated to do it, and Andrew's grumpy attitude isn't helping me to be motivated to do it. We're just not that good, I think, at mustering up... I'm sorry, Andrew. I pick on you because I know you can take it. We're just not that good at mustering up and genuine and deep love and compassion out of nothing. I think we're not very good at initiating selfless love for one another in the way that Jesus seemed to be able to do. So here is the key, and here is why we are talking about love sharers this morning. Actually, the truth is that we are not called to muster up some kind of selfless love and sacrificial love out of nowhere. God calls us to share the love that we are loved with. It's much more like we are passing on or sharing the love that we have received, rather than just trying to initiate love. This is why I've called this message Love Sharers, because we really are just sharing love. We're not creating it. So we're talking about love sharers, and here's the key thing about love sharers. The truth is that those who are the best love sharers are the best love. Sharing love that we have received is infinitely easier than initiating love. The best love sharers are those that are the best loved. And I think we know this, really. You don't need to know much and understand much about this world to know this. We see it all over the place, in our prison system, our healthcare system, particularly our mental health system, childcare system. Children who are not well loved and nurtured and looked after find it much more difficult than children who are well loved to share love and to show love themselves. They haven't received any love to share, and this stays with people throughout their lives. If that was someone's experience as a child, they will most likely always find it harder to be a love sharer than a child who was well loved. Here's a stat for you. fewer than 1% of children in the UK are in the care system, but children who are in the care who are in care make up 40% of all minors who are in prison. So less than 1% of children are in care, but 40% of children in prison are children who are in social care. You can go to prison from the age of 10, so it's some kind of unit. If you take prisoners up to the age of 25, it rises to 50% of prisoners have been in care at some point in their lives, even though fewer than 1% of children are in care. Maybe you know this from experience. It might be that you weren't loved well as a child or even as an adult. Maybe you were abused in some way, and you know that one of the effects of that is that it is harder for you to show love to others because you haven't been loved well. Of course, I mean, there are exceptions to all of this, but the vast majority of people that you know who are loving and kind and compassionate will have been well loved throughout their lives. They haven't needed to initiate and muster up love out of nowhere, but they have been able to share the love that they have received. And we're going to read John 15, 9 to 17 in a moment together, just to see, I'm not, this is an entirely biblical concept. This isn't just based on some stat. This is an entirely biblical concept. Jesus is the best person at loving there ever was. He was able to love those that hated him, and he still is, even to the point that he died for them and for us. He was being abused while hanging on a cross and being crucified, and he was praying to his Father for the people that were crucifying him. How did he do it? He could do it because he was so perfectly loved by his Father, and he knew it. This allowed him to be the perfect love sharer, and this is what we are called to imitate. So we're going to read John 15, 9 to 17, which is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I'll read a bit, explain a bit, read a bit, explain a bit, etc. So verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. When we talk about sharing love, this love has to start somewhere, doesn't it? We don't need to initiate love, but someone does, cause and effect and all of that. It's got to be a cause somewhere that is uncaused. Well, it always starts with God the Father. All love comes from him. All love finds its origin in him, even the love of Jesus, the Son. Jesus is able to pray for those that are crucifying him because the Father has loved him. Jesus is able to love you so well because of the love he has received from the Father. Jesus, you know, Jesus loves you so much. He loves you more than you can imagine. And he loves you with the very same love that the Father loves him with. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus was able to love those that physically crucified him. He is able to love you. And he does. Let's carry on. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Just pause again. Jesus is saying that all he does is remain in his Father's love. And he, in turn, loves us with all his heart. And he's calling you and me to do the same. Whoever you are, God says that the primary mandate, the primary job of really any human, but certainly particularly Christians, is this. This is the primary thing we're called to do. You ready? To remain in his love for you. Just know that God loves you. Focus on this. Become obsessed with this. And if we do this, we will love one another. You might say, well, actually, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the second is like it, love your neighbor. Well, yeah, but how do you do that? You remain in the Father's love. I'm not mocking that. It certainly is true. But the only means of achieving that is to remain in the Father's love, in Jesus' love for us. And there in verse 12 is that one another of this passage. Love one another. How? As I have loved you. Just share the love you have received. That is where you will find complete joy, says Jesus. So carrying on, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus died for you. He laid his life down for you, and he displayed perfect love because he was able to perfectly share the love of the Father. It's the same thing, we're getting it. Jesus loving with the love he has loved with. We have lived for ourselves, each and every one of us, and our own gain. But Jesus demonstrated perfect sacrificial love by giving up all that he had with the Father in order to die for us and be able to call us, not his servants, but his friends. And we can now know God himself. We call God our friend and our Father. That is, as we worship him, as we were singing earlier, because of the love that Jesus has shared with us. And what is the command that Jesus gives us as his people again? In there it says again, remain in the love he has loved us with. Jesus has shared everything with us that the Father shared with him, and we can call him our friend. 16, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Love one another. Jesus chose us as his people and poured his love out on us, and now he has commissioned us to go and do likewise. And we will see fruit from our love, it says in the Bible. The command is to love one another. You notice there's almost like a two-part to this command in here, because he says, my command is this, remain in love, and then my command is this, love one another. It's kind of two parts of the same command, really. Share the love you have received and remained in. So this biblical, this concept of the best love sharers and the best love is entirely biblical. We're not just called to initiate love and muster it up, but to share it, to share the love we have received from Jesus. It looks like this, really. This is kind of how you can break it up, I think. The Father perfectly shares love with Jesus, the Son. Jesus, the Son, perfectly shares this same love with us. And we share this love with one another. That's what this passage is talking about. That's what we're talking about this morning. Okay, so we don't initiate love. Yeah, okay, we get that. We share love, all right. It's about love sharers. We get that. That's how it works. But how do we do that? How do we actually share this love with one another? How do we love one another in practice? Let's say you did notice in the passage there are two parts to the command and that Jesus gives to love. He tells us to remain in love, and he tells us to love one another. Basically, we are called to receive God's love, his unconditional love to us, and we are called to share and demonstrate God's unconditional love to others. So what does this look like, to share and to demonstrate God's love? We're going to look at some of the other love one another verses found in the Bible to see what this looks like. This is just a few of them, not all of them. It says love one another in a load of different places in the Bible. Serve one another. Be devoted to one another. Greet one another with a kiss. I don't know how you say hello at your life group when you see each other. But the biblical mandate is to greet one another with a kiss. I think it's just saying be welcoming, be kind, say be warm to people. Carries on, tolerate one another. It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's loving sometimes to just bear with one another if that's appropriate. Comfort one another in love. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds and pray for one another. So that's what demonstrating love looks like. But we go back to the beginning, don't we? It's hard to do all things on our own when people aren't really doing it to us. If people aren't already doing these things to us, it's hard for us to do. The key to love sharers, the best love sharers are the best love. What does this mean? It means, really, we never actually move on from the first part of this two-part command. We never really move on from receiving God's love to us and remaining in his love. Certainly, we're never called to, you know, because sometimes my motivation is, yeah, all right, yeah, but what do I do? What do I need to do? We want to skip the first bit, get on with the nitty-gritty of the second bit, of actually doing stuff to demonstrate God's love. No, you can never skip the first part of that command. If we focus on and live in receiving God's love, then the sharing and the demonstrating of this love will inevitably follow. Because the best love sharers, the best love demonstrators are the best loved, those who have truly received love. You can even go as far as to say that you simply cannot receive the love of God and not share it and demonstrate it to others. I think this morning, as we sing, as we gather and do all that we do this morning, we're sharing the love, we're receiving the love of God, aren't we? And I think we cannot do that and not go on to demonstrate it to others. So if you feel like you're just not as loving as you would like to be, then don't just try and sort it out. I must try harder, must be more loving. No, get to know the love with which you are loved. Get to know the love of God better. It might be you've never known this love before. Maybe you used to know it in more of a real way than you do now, but you know, life's got in the way. There's just no time to spend just receiving the love of God anymore. Well, God loves you so much, whatever your past, whoever you are, and he is able and desperate for you to know his love for you. He's not happy for you to just kind of know it in theory. He wants you to know it truly. There's no limit to it. We can never receive too much of God's love. I'm just going to pause and pray, actually, and ask God to send his love to us right now. There's certainly things we can do and changes we can make in our lives to receive God's love more, but also God just has the power to whack us with his love sometimes, even when we're not expecting him to. And I'm going to ask to do that now. So would you stand with me as I pray and ask God to pour his love on us? Just pray briefly. Why don't you just get before God again? Father, thank you for the initiating love that you have poured out on your son, Jesus. Thank you. There's no limit to your love. Jesus, thank you for sharing this love with us. I pray just help us to receive and know your love afresh once more this morning. However much we have or have not known it in the past, I pray would we know it and receive it afresh this morning. Pour your spirit on us. Let us know how much you love us. Help us to remain in your love. Help us to stop and receive. Help us to look past the busyness of life and to stop and remain in the love of God. Help us to appreciate the importance of receiving your love. We know this, you know, the best love sharers are the best loved. We want to know your love again so that we might share your love well. Pour it on us right now in abundance, Lord, I pray. Your spirit come upon us. Pour your love on us right now, I pray. In your beautiful name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Feel free to take your seats. It's good, isn't it, to pray and to seek God for the love. So we just need to focus on the receiving of God's love. Okay, how do we do that? Certainly we can pray, but what changes can we make? Here's the thing I'm going to talk about for a moment. Here's the thing. I know for a fact that as a church, as Grace Church, we're pretty good at this already, I think. I think we are not just Grace Church in name, but we are Grace Church in nature. I think we know that God loves us. I think we know this is an unconditional and unlimited love. We know it's never going to stop, whatever we might do to try and stop it. And I, for one, for me, it is a joy to be part of such a church as that, that knows the love of God so well. I love this church. I love to be part of it. I love how my brothers and sisters are full of the love of God. It's a privilege. Do you know what I mean? Do you observe this too at Grace Church? It's a joy to be part of. It can be seen and known in many ways. I think the best way to know that we have received God's love well is to see that we share and demonstrate it well. I think we do that well as a family. I think we do it well here in Midhurst and also across our sites. There's so many examples I could give here of the church in action in sharing love with one another. One example is all the events that you guys and all of us have worked so hard to put on for the community here in Midhurst. As John was saying, right up to Christmas, the kids' party, the elves' giving out candy canes in town, the carol service, even the community fun day back in September. There's a lot of hard work going in to being able to share and demonstrate love to the people of Midhurst. Everyone pitches in and helps one another, sharing and demonstrating love among ourselves and beyond to the wider community. And it's amazing. Every time I see it, the church mobilised into that action, it stirs my heart. Another example is when Jeremy, who's one of our site leaders here in Midhurst, and he was pretty seriously ill before Christmas and still recovering. He was in various hospitals receiving various treatments for some time. And, you know, it's tough when these things hit us, isn't it, as a family. It's horrible. But it's also humbling to see the family of God, the church, mobilised in action into supporting Jem and his family through this time. You know, people visiting in hospital, checking up on them, praying for them, keeping others informed on how they can help out. It is world-class love sharing, and it's amazing. Demonstrating the love of God that has been received. Love sharers in action. What a joy to be part of such a family. Such a joy. And you know, it's not just us who observe it from our perspectives. So when guests come to Grace Church for the first few times, you may or might not know that one of the things we ask them to do, if they're happy to, if they want to, is to fill in a brief feedback form on what their experience of Grace Church was. And I've just got a couple of quotes from those forms. So one of the questions we ask is, what did you notice first on your visit? Here's one answer. And these answers are taken from all over, across our sites. How welcoming members of Grace Church made me feel. It was overwhelming. They were so warm, friendly, and sincere in our brief conversations. I must admit, I didn't feel like a new kid on the block. I felt completely at ease and at home. Isn't that amazing? Another answer to that question, the friendliness of the welcome team as I first walked in the door. It's great. Another question we asked, what did you like best about your visit? One answer, among many things, how united and caring everyone was, just like a family should be. Another one, we were made to feel part of the church right from the moment we arrived. Our children felt comfortable. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great to hear these things? The love of God is clearly being received by the people of this church because of how clearly the love of God is being shared and demonstrated by this church. Understand, I'm not just, you know, saying this so we should all give ourselves a pat on the back and say, yeah, we're doing really well, well done. I'm just reminding us how great the love of God is to us and how amazing it is to know that God is sharing his love amongst us, just encouraging us, really, that God is at work. And these labours are not in vain. We are loving one another well because God has loved us so well. It's great. And it fills my heart with passion, and I'm encouraged by it. So I hope you are too. So that's all well and good. How do we demonstrate, though? Well, we've all those verses which we talked about, we can love one another and do all of these things. We share and demonstrate our love by, you know, serving one another, by serving in practical ways, by being committed and devoted to one another, by praying for one another, comforting one another, all of that, etc. I'm largely going to kind of earth the application for this a bit more for your life and what you can do with it, really, by talking about our groups that we run as a church. We're going to talk about our groups a fair amount through this mini-series. You might or might not have noticed that we aren't running any life groups through the month of January, or until the 31st or so. And the reason is just to give it a fresh push, really, to look again at the value we place in them as a church. So we basically operate as a church on the model that we want all members' experience of Grace Church to include Sunday mornings and one evening in the week, thereabouts. Sundays are great and vital. The reality is I don't think someone could ever fully experience Grace Church and be part of Grace Church if they never came on a Sunday. But it is also true, isn't it, that Sundays there's just too many people around. There's too much going on for people to connect in really meaningful ways and in ways that lead to real family like we see that make these community events happen and supporting Gemma and Sachs examples. And that is where our groups come in. And I would also say, you know, I think if Sundays are your only experience of Grace Church and you never engage with any of our midweek groups, then I think you will also never fully experience and be part of Grace Church anywhere near as much as you could be. It's really quite difficult to build community and practically do all of those one another things on Sundays. It takes our kind of small communities and groups to do this. So life groups are a great example of these groups. Each life group is made up of people from all ages and walks of life, and they run across our sites. Most meet in people's homes on a kind of fortnightly basis, and each group has leaders, which usually a couple, but not always, who make sure everything just runs smoothly and who are there for you to look after you and be there if you have any concerns. They're a perfect place to receive love and to demonstrate loving one another. And they're just, they're not, it's so easy to see as just another meeting or just another thing to go to. It's not at all what our life groups are. Our life groups, they're based on the principles of fun, food and fellowship. Basically, they're a place to come and enjoy being with one another and enjoy one another and love one another. They're informal fun. They're a meal together because we always have food. You know, the eternal truth that food makes everything more fun. I certainly know that to be true. We just do church with one another. We pray for each other, study the Bible together, support one another in various ways and do all of those things, apart from kissing one another. We do welcome one another warmly, though, and anyone else who wants to join. It might just be listening to each other at the life groups, sorting a meal rota for someone who's going through a particularly demanding time. We just love to serve one another. And if you've been part of a life group or for any length of time, or even just part of Grace Church for any length of time, you probably now just think, oh, it's just rattling on now. And you might have already switched into heard it all before mode. I just want to remind you again of the wonder of all of this. We can just take it for granted, can't we? How amazing all of that is and what a privilege it is to be part of. Let me encourage you to just rethink the priority you give to life groups in your life. The more you get involved in a life group or any other group, the more you will feel part of Grace Church. And the more you have opportunity to both receive and to demonstrate God's love. In fact, the context of our passage, we're reading John 15, the very context is really quite similar to the context of our life groups. It's just Jesus, not with the multitude of people who were following him and listening to his teaching, but with a smaller group of 12 guys sitting around the table, eating together, having a chat, and loving one another and having a good time. I know right now, so in Midhurst, I know we've currently got just the one life group, but we are looking to have more than one in the near future, and I just want to encourage you to embrace it all afresh. Life groups are a tool to help you know the love of God better and know the love of your fellow believers and share the love you have with them. Perfect environment to live out all of those love-related one another verses. So, you know, when you get in from work and you feel, oh, life group, another thing to go to, what an effort. Just try and rethink the way you're thinking about it. It's a great chance to go and be blessed, to go and bless others and love one another. Maybe you used to be quite involved in life groups at some point in the past, but you've just lost touch with it. Again, you just see it like another meeting to go to. I just want to gently challenge you to rethink your priority and remember the privilege life groups are and how they are just the best environment for you to live out this commission to love one another. So as well as life groups, we also run a load of other courses, or short-term groups as we call them, which are more specific to a certain topic but serve similar purposes to the life groups. This might be Alpha, Freedom in Christ, Beta, Marriage Course, and a bunch of others, all of which are smaller groups that allow us to live out our biblical mandate as a church. Not just a random bunch of people with various backgrounds, but we're a family that loves one another. We're called as a church to love one another, and as elders, actually, we're just so aware that our groups are so important. as a church. They're really such a backbone in all we do and so helpful in allowing us to do that, to love one another. Like I say, we'll be talking a bit more about our groups throughout this short series. So do make sure you're here next week to hear a bit more about them, or come along on Thursday to the Vision Focus. We'll talk about them a bit there. We're going to look at how we are continuing to push their value and also make some slight changes in the way we operate things with all our groups. So come on Thursday or come back next week, do both and hear about all of that. What I'm saying this morning is that groups are one of the best ways for us to receive God's love. And certainly I think they are the best way for us to live out and share and demonstrate God's love to one another as a family. So as I draw to a close, I said when I started that I think we all want to be more loving in some way. Certainly the vast majority of us do. We want to be better people and to love people better. We talked about how Jesus calls us to do to others as you would have them do to you. How this is, yeah, wise and a logical principle, but when you root it in the context, it's just not that easy if we're not first being loved. Then it is very hard to love others because the best love sharers are the best love. We need to first receive love before we can demonstrate it and do to others as we would have them do to us. So we're really called to just share the love of God that has been poured out on us. So whatever you believe about God, this principle about the best love sharers being the best loved, it's undeniably true. And it is also true that you will not find love like the love that God has for you anywhere else. It is unique. If we can truly receive this love and remain in this love, then we will share and demonstrate it and love one another. If I can invite the band to come up, why don't we all stand together as we look to respond. Our response is just really simple. I just want to turn our eyes to Jesus again. We're going to worship him, dwell in him, and receive his love for us afresh. The best way for us to love one another is to know that God loves us. Jesus could love and even pray for the men that physically crucified him. My mind is blown by that. And he loves you too. So we're going to sing and invite the Holy Spirit again, ask him to fill us with his love, ask him to let us know his love in powerful and life-changing ways. I just reminded of Sam's words earlier. Sometimes we can get in tune with ourselves, like a guitar. You can tune it to itself and it will sound all right on its own. And yet, as a body, we want to be in tune with one another, don't we? We want to come and work as a family together. We're not about individuals. We're not about one guitar sounding all right, as long as it's put in the corner away from everyone else. We all want to work together, don't we? We want to be in tune to one another, and in order to do that, we need to receive the love of God. I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing. Again, Father, we're just so in awe of your love for us. Thank you for all that you have gone to be able to call us friends. All that you have done for us is amazing. And we want to receive your love. I pray, Lord God, would you tune us to your tune? We don't want to be in tune with ourselves. We want to be in tune with you and with one another, Lord God. And we need you to do that for us. We need to receive your love, Lord God. I pray, pour it on us afresh right now in powerful ways. Would we know your love powerfully right now as we sing and worship you and give you all the glory, Lord God. Amen. Let's sing together.